Scripture reading today is from the book of Isaiah. It's a book about judgment and hope. Reading from chapter 66, verses 1 and 2. This is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? Where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things, and so they came into being, declares the Lord? This is the one I esteem, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word.
Good morning. Have you ever received a birthday card from someone and you open it up to find that there's nothing in it, and you really just don't want to waste your time reading the card? Or you open it up and you find something in it and you don't want to waste your time reading the card? I always joke with my wife that I will look at a card for about 30 seconds so it looks like I'm reading it. One of the young people in the junior high class was talking about he got a card, birthday card from the bank yesterday. And there was no money in it from the bank. But there are some times when you get cards that you actually take the time to read them, sometimes because it might be funny. But most of the time it's because of who wrote it, who sent it, especially when there's a personal message on that card. You know, what's interesting to me, and Neil said this at the table, that we're not talking about just anyone's love, we're talking about God's love. And this morning I want to talk about not just any book, God's book. God wrote a book. It's an interesting phrase. Because if we believe that to be true, that changes or should change our perspective of the book that we have in our hands, or should have in our hands. This is not based on whether or not there's enough time in our lives to read. This is not based on whether or not I like to read. This is based on whether or not I know the author. Whether or not I truly care about the one who wrote this book. You see, we're big on reading or listening to things when we like it. We always have time and find time for the things that we like to do. And I suggest to you that this book that we're going to talk about, this one that we have in our hand, is unlike any other book that you can pick up in this world. And we live in a time where the nonsense of saying we don't have time to read or to listen to the Bible is just that. It's absurd. You can listen to the Bible while you're doing anything. Sometimes when I'm up here, I hear your Bibles talking. So I know some of you accidentally know how to do it. We know. Or we find time for the things that we want to do. But I want to tell you, that phrase behind me should be significant to all of us. And if it's true, I suggest to you that it may be worth a read. It may be worth a read. Even if you question whether or not it's true, all we're talking about is your soul, eternity. It may be worth a read of understanding who this one is. This one that created all things. Is this book from him? Now, I appreciate that some will say, well, he didn't actually write it. He wrote it through man. Well, listen, you're just studying Romans this year or this quarter. Let me ruin this for you. Paul didn't write Romans. Tertius wrote it. It's Paul's words. Just like with the Bible, it's God's words. It's his book. And we are blessed to have this book with us. And sometimes, I don't think we appreciate, or perhaps it's just simply as we take it for granted, that we have this book from the Almighty God. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter. It's an interesting verse to me, because this is what it comes down to. We have a choice to make, whether or not this book is really from God, or it isn't. And quite frankly, that choice cannot be made if you've never read it. I've always been fascinated with this idea that people will question whether or not there's a God and never read the book. I would question whether or not there was something called chemistry. And I didn't read the book. But I know it's true. But if it's something that I am dealing with, I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis a couple of years ago. I've read everything on it. Before that, nothing. I didn't read anything on it. I've read everything. Why? Because it involves me, my favorite subject, me. It's something I want to know about. I want to be ready for. I want to face. That's what this book is, and a far greater piece. To understand, as verse 13 says, "For this reason we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you accepted it not as word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe." There's your choice we have. Do you believe that that book in front of you is from God or from man? That's the choice. The same question, by the way, that Jesus asks of the Pharisees when they were talking about, or when he asked about John's baptism. By what authority do you do these things? Let me ask you a question first. Is it from man or is it from God? That's the choice that we have. And there are people that will make that conclusion without ever picking up the book and reading it. It's absurd. The idea that we would say that this book is from God and never read it is just as absurd as far as I'm concerned. If this book is from God, we may want to read it. Not because, by the way, we need to know this book, which absolutely we do. This book is written for us to know the author, to have a relationship with him. And it's the understanding of that fact that it is absolutely worth the read. In Romans, the first chapter, let's start in verse 16. We'll get to verse 18 in just a minute. This is a verse I'm sure you talked about in class. But in Romans, the first chapter, verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Very simple. The difficulty sometimes for us is to understand that we are, in many cases, ashamed of the gospel. We're ashamed of it. If you don't read it, you may not come to the full-fledged point that you're embarrassed of it, but you certainly aren't proud of it. You certainly don't have a relationship with it. But you take that to the next step. If we're afraid to let our light shine, we are embarrassed by it. We are afraid of it, or afraid to let people know who we truly are. You look at verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness." Suppress the truth. Do you know how many times you'll hear people, and we got to be so careful of this ourselves, you'll read a verse, it's as clear as day what it's saying, and they'll say, that doesn't mean that today. That was 2,000 years ago. If this is God's word, it's not about time. It's not about years. If you're going to take that from a literal perspective, the scriptures will say that's like 2 days to God. It hasn't been that long. But it's understanding for you and I, when this book, just because I may disagree with something or have a different perspective of it, it's not that God is wrong or the Bible is wrong. I'm going to tell you, one of the most amazing things to me is to talk to folks in this world that will say some of the Bible has been, they'll use a religious word, apostatized, has been changed. It just sounds better when you say apostatized. And so you have that perspective. It's been changed. God's word's been changed. I'm going to tell you where it hasn't been changed, but some of it has been changed. It is amazing to me how often it only changed where they didn't agree with it. Isn't that amazing? The other verses are fine. Martin Luther will write about or talk about the fact that the book of James is a book of straw. Why? Because he didn't agree with it. You don't need works. It's amazing how we do that. And you know who else does that? We can. There are certain verses that maybe we don't like what it's saying, what we have to do. But the reality is, either it's the power of God or it isn't. Either it's his word or it isn't. Either it is sacred Or it isn't. You have a book in your hand that probably says Holy Bible. It's a special book. It is vastly different than any other book ever written by man. It is a book that sits on people's shelves and is never opened unless they're going to church. Just as the Creator intended it to be. It is an app on our phone that we have to try to slide through to figure out where it is because it's behind all the games we put on it. Just like God intended it to be. This is a sacred book. It is set apart from any other thing ever written. And we've got to understand what that means. I appreciate when I was younger, I did not like to read. I didn't like to read. I like to read now, but I didn't like to read when I was younger. There's movies. Why have to read? Movies are better. They're shorter. And I cannot say this enough. When it comes to the Bible, that is not an issue. I've had people say that to me, and it's amazing, that perspective. I don't like to read. What does that have to do with the Bible? I don't like hospitals, but when people that I love are there, I'm going to the hospital. It has nothing to do with the fact I don't like to read. It has everything to do with the fact that I know the author. It has everything to do with the fact that this is a holy book. It has everything to do with the fact that I believe that it is the Word of God and is the power of God into salvation. But I'm going to tell you, it's just like saying I love God and Jesus says, look, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. Show it. Prove it. If you love him, if you believe this is God's Word, this should not be a book that we only open up on Sundays or Wednesdays. This should be a book that, quite frankly, is never closed. That we're constantly reading. We're constantly studying, not because the preacher said so, because it's God's Word. You know, I have a picture at my house of my grandmother that if you wave your hand over it, you can hear her voice. She just says, happy birthday, Scott, I love you. I listen to that every once in a while. Why? Because if it was somebody else, some lady that said that, that would be just weird. But the relationship that you have with the one who is talking, the one that is writing, makes a difference in whether or not we're going to listen, makes a difference in whether or not we're going to do it. When it comes to listening to things, I've never had anybody, and I'm sure somebody will come up to me afterwards. I just don't like to listen to things. Now, children, sometimes. I just don't like to listen. When new music comes out, and this has not changed. This was what it was like when I was young, believe it or not. Well, sort of. When I was young, we would wait outside, or my friends would wait outside to get the tape or the CD of when it was coming out. Now, even my son will tell me so-and-so is dropping, I think it's dropping music. You're going to listen to it. I'm excited that it's coming out. LeBron has some new shoes coming out, or whoever has new shoes coming out. And there's lines. The iPhone's coming out with a new one. Great. Does exactly the same thing mine does. It's amazing. Our perspective of things that we like, that we want to listen to, that we want to read, that we want to watch. But when it comes to the Bible, ugh. I don't want to listen to that. I don't want to read that. So let's just get down to it. Do you really believe that it's God's Word? Do we really believe that it's God's Word? The last 2 weeks we talked about worship, whether or not God is worthy of our worship. If he's worthy of our worship, it's going to change the way that we worship. If this is really his book, it's going to change the way that we look at the book. It is so powerful to me to understand that God's Word is not going to change, and it is not, certainly not bound on whether or not I believe it or I accept it. God's Word is God's Word whether you like it or not, whether you accept it or not. And it is not contingent on whether or not you believe it. It is His word. That's what the Bible claims. The Bible spends zero time trying to figure out whether or not there is a God. It tells you, I am God. And this is my book. And this is how you get back to me. That's what it spends the time on. We spend time with questions so often. And sometimes, if for some odd reason, and it's not just an American thing, it's a human thing, because we see this in the Bible, we're just too lazy to look for the answer. Because quite frankly, I believe some of us are afraid of what the answer might be. I worked with a guy, I've told this story, because it just blows my mind, I tell this story all the time. He thought Star Trek was real. That's the kind of jobs I've had in the past. Star Trek was real. And that was his religion. So I laughed like that, and he's like, oh, I'm not kidding. And he was a big dude, so I was like, So I listened to him. Beat me up, Scotty, all the things that he would say. I've never watched Star Trek, so I have no idea what's on there. But the amazing thing to me is he was looking for something that fit what he wanted it to be. And he found it. And man is looking for something that they want to have. And we found it. Guess what it is? Man's number one. I will never be surprised when it comes to macroevolution that we're like, oh, we're top. Evolution can stop. We've made it. That should never be a surprise. In the Bible, we'll call it humanism. Today, we may as well call it humanism. All it is that we're top. It has nothing to do with evidence. Microevolution is another conversation. But when we're talking about macroevolution, it's not based on evidence. But see, but people will listen to what others say because there's a lot of little letters behind their name. And they've written books. Well, my God has written a book. And He doesn't need letters after His name. The question is whether or not we're willing to listen to Him. Whether or not we're willing to take the time to read it. Whether or not we truly understand that this is all about focusing on glorifying God. In 2 Timothy, the fourth chapter, it's interesting what was going to happen, and you see this obviously today. Paul is writing to Timothy, who is a preacher. He says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. Now, this doesn't take long, by the way. This isn't happening in 2019. This happened like in the next day for Timothy. Gnosticism starts off very quickly. So this was an issue going on, but it certainly is an issue today. And a preacher has to decide, am I going to teach the truth, what the Bible says, or am I just going to teach what's going to keep my job? Is it because the group, the congregation, just wants to have their ears tickled? That's a temptation for a lot of people. But Paul says that this is in the presence of God that I'm telling you this. You better be willing to preach the truth in season or out of season. You preach the truth whether they want to hear it or not, whether it's politically correct or not, in season or out of season. You're going to reprove, you're going to rebuke, you're going to exhort. And by the way, when you preach any subject, it's going to reprove and it's going to rebuke and it's going to exhort at the same time in many cases. If I'm up here talking about reading God's word and how it's God's word and you read God's word every day, I'm not rebuking you. I'm exhorting you. If you don't, that's where the rebuke comes in. It's understanding how this works when it comes to our lives. Are we focusing on glorifying God? Or are we so caught up in who we are that the Bible itself, as Paul will say in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, for some is salvation. For others, it's foolishness. Same book. To some, it's salvation. To others, it's foolishness. That hasn't changed. Paul will say it this way in 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, 14 through 16. Either to some, you smell like life. You know what you smell like to other people? Death. Your perfume, and we've all been in this situation, where someone's perfume or cologne stinks to some. To that person, they must think it smells good. This is what the gospel does. To some, it's life. I love it. To others, it's death. It's foolishness. But the question isn't whether or not I put on the question for us is whether or not I put on the cologne, whether I put on the aroma, whether I'm willing to act like the child of God that I'm called to be. My dad, when I was younger, used to talk about this bumper sticker that would talk about God said it, I believe it, that settles it. And he would always say, it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. God said it, that settles it. You better believe it. That's what this book is. It's not whether or not you believe it. It's not whether or not you're going to accept it. It is. You and I have to determine or whether or not we're going to put the effort into learning about it and coming to the conclusion of what it is. Are we observers? Are we participants? You turn over to Isaiah, the 66th chapter, verses that were read to us in the beginning. Again, God is writing this. He's telling them, or he's speaking here. He's telling them very simply, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where then is a house you could build for me? And where is a place that I may rest? For my hand made all these things. Thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. This is a book of what, that's written about the fact that they had gone off to idolatry. We don't call it idolatry today. We just put things before God. We choose whether or not there is a God. This wasn't a question of whether or not Jehovah was a God. This was a question of whether or not Jehovah was the only God. So they would serve sort of God, and then they would go out and do their various sacrifices to other gods. But he says, you need to be humble. I'm going to tell you, one of the biggest issues, the biggest obstacle, in my opinion, to making God as magnificent as he deserves to be, is my willingness to make me small. Is my willingness to understand that it's not about me. Is my willingness to understand, as Tyler will say, that I am not the main character in my story. Is my willingness to humble myself, to understand my place in this. That is not to put yourself so low that you don't feel that you're worthy of the fact that he has called you to be his child. That's his. He's decided that. It does mean that you understand who God is, and that he has created all things, and there is not one single box that's big enough to keep him in it. Even though man has tried to put him in boxes all the time. Contrite in spirit. You offer no excuses. One stops justifying wrong choices. You know, it's one thing to be humble. It's another thing to truly desire repentance. We all are at least tempted to make excuses for the things that we do, at least in the past. Or we justify things all the time. This is God's word. Justification for wrong choices is nothing more but a nice word to say, I'm making an excuse for what I've done. I've just decided I want to do what I want to do. But this is the amazing one to me in this chapter. And if you could read it, it would probably mean more to you. We stop trying to answer infinite questions with finite answers. Tremble at his word. It is amazing to me how many people's argument against a God is whether it's based on whether or not there's so much sorrow in this world and suffering in this world and death in this world or fossils. That's what it comes down to. Why is there so much suffering in this world? Sin. Why is there so many fossils in this world? Death. You see, when we decided to leave God from the garden as humans, the understanding of the repercussions of what occurred at that point, when there was no opportunity for them to eat from the tree of life any longer, and the understanding of what was going to happen. And the focus so often is on this world. God allows these things to happen. Why does he allow these things to happen? Because we choose to allow it to happen. It's our choice. It's free will. That comes with love. It's true free will in many cases. But there's the other difficulty that I have. When humans only focus on the physical, you're always going to have those questions. God has given us a way out of the suffering. God has given us a way out of the difficulties of this life. The problem is, we don't like the answer. He has answered that. His tree of life, he talks about in Revelation, is in heaven. It's with him. And guess who else can be with him? You and I. That's where we need to focus. We need to understand this relationship. We're trying to answer infinite questions, these amazing, eternal, spiritual things with these finite answers. So I said many times, it's like trying to teach an insect how to drive. It's probably not going to go well. There are just some parts when it comes to this subject that are beyond us, and God tries to explain it to us in some way in the scriptures in many cases. We've got to take the time to read this book to understand who he is, but we've also got to change, in my opinion. When we talk about God wrote this book, God, there's no question about that. It's my Father wrote this book. Your Father wrote this book. The one that wants to have a relationship with you wrote this book. And so often we get caught looking at it or forgetting about it or looking in to see if there might be money in it instead of reading what it has to say. When it offers far more than any of those things. Do you have a relationship with him? Is what this comes down to. This morning, the whole goal of talking about this is simply to make us all understand that this is not a normal book. I am amazed to listen to people talk about, I've read such and such a series, I've done this, I've read it multiple times. Have you read your Bible? No. That's a problem, especially if you call yourself a Christian. And I've said this many times before, and I hope you understand this. I'm not suggesting to you to start in Genesis and read through Revelation as though you're reading some sort of a novel. This book is vastly different than that. It's reading it and learning from it and soaking it in and meditating upon it. And sometimes that means I'm going to read the Psalms over and over and over and over again. Sometimes that means I'm going to read 1 John every single week, which I do. Sometimes it just means you're going to read Romans time and time and time again. It's understanding what those books have to offer, that they're from God, and what they mean in my life during the times of my life, what I'm going through. And one of the things you'll learn very quickly is the fact that he loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you. You know, this past week, I was swimming in a pool, minding my own business, believe it or not. Trying to stay in shape, probably. My little nephew came up to me, and the subject of baptism came up. So I talked to him, asked him some questions. We talked a little bit more. And he was baptized. Nolan was. Then there were fireworks shot off for him. Also for our country, I guess. You know what the amazing thing about that? I was thinking about this when I was watching these fireworks and watching the ones that Tom was trying to shoot off. There is nothing compared to the rejoicing that goes on in heaven. Nothing. Because of the understanding of one being grabbed from sin, from spiritual death, and putting Christ on in baptism, becoming a child of God. The rejoicing that goes on. And it's the same rejoicing that we should have. Understanding what has occurred, not only for me when I obeyed the gospel and I live for him, but for you, for Nolan. There are some here this morning that do not have a relationship with him. There's nothing more than we would love just to sit down and talk to you. I would love to introduce my Savior to you. For some, it's you do have questions. Ask them. Ask them. Always pray for one another. There's no doubt that there are people going through things that I know of or don't know of, but I certainly know the one who does know. And we need to pray for one another. But if there's anything that we can do for you, please do not leave. Let us help you. If there's anything right now, I ask you to please come as we stand and sing.